Zechariah chapter 6, verse 1. Zechariah 6, verse 1. Let me read you the first 8 verses. This is the 8th vision that Zechariah saw in one night. 6:1. And again, I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there came 4 chariots out from between the 2 mountains, and the mountains were of brass mountains. In the first chariot were red horses, and in the second chariot black horses, and in the third chariot white horses, and in the fourth chariot, now the description of this horse, as if it had been hail upon and was spotted with hail spots, and the next word means strong, which they translate here, brittle, strong horses. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, What are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, These are the 4 winds of heaven, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. The chariot, wherein are the black horses, going forth toward the north country, and the white went forth after them, and the grizzled went forth toward the south country. And the strong went forth and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, Get you hence, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. Then cried he to me and spake unto me, saying, Behold, they that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. Again, what would this message mean to the remnant working on the temple who had become discouraged, and Haggai and Zechariah, through these prophecies from God, were seeking to encourage them, spur them on to continue the work? I'll tell you about it, and then we'll see just how this would be an encouragement to you. As usual, he lifts up his eyes, and then, in vision before his eyes, 4 chariots come out from between 2 mountains, and the mountains were mountains of brass. You might ask, what does this mean? If you look a little further down, God will give you more clues. Look down at verse 5. The angel answered and said unto me, These are the 4 winds of heaven which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. The word ruach in the Hebrew means breath, wind, or spirit, and evidently it should be translated wind here, because nowhere else in the Old Testament is such a concept contained. More about that later. But this is the important thing. In verse 1, we simply have 4 chariots coming out from between 2 mountains. Well, from where did they originate? They're coming from behind these 2 mountains. They come in between these 2 mountains. What's on the other side of those mountains? Look at verse 5 again. The angel answered and said unto me, These are the 4 winds of heaven which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. So these chariots with the horses that come forth have been behind those 2 mountains, standing before the Lord of all the earth. Definitely there is symbolism here. And you have to use all the available clues that God gives you elsewhere in the Old Testament and in the New Testament to discover what this means. Zechariah is looking and he sees 4 chariots come out with horses from between two mountains, and then he notices those mountains are of brass. Since he does not tell us the names of the two mountains, we do not know for sure. It has been suggested that they are Mount Moriah and the Mount of Olives. We do not know, but in between those two mountains are places where God's judgment has taken place in the past and shall take place in the future. So here are four chariots with various colored horses coming from between these two mountains, and these two mountains are mountains of brass. Well, what does it mean? I take it to mean this. Look at chapter 4. I'll take the simplest and nearest explanation at hand. Chapter 4, look at verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. So in chapter 4, a mountain is an obstacle put before men to prevent their work from being accomplished. Well, here is a great mountain, and the Gentiles and the conquerors of the nation of Israel are like a great mountain. But God says concerning that mountain, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. So here is a mountain that is an obstacle, but it is no obstacle to God. But now, if man has his obstacles to try to defeat the work of God, what about man trying to defeat the word and purposes of God in the opposite case? Man is seeking to destroy God's purposes, and God says, I shall destroy your purposes. So God's two mountains of brass are impregnable fortresses of judgment into which no human being can penetrate. Two mountains of brass, the judgment of God, and these angels are coming forth to execute the judgment of God. And who can penetrate God's fortress? Who can go to the presence of God and defeat him? It is impossible. It's like this. Man has his mountains, and God, in symbol, has his mountains. And it's like this. Do you remember when our Savior was crucified and buried? The Jews wanted to make certain that the Lord Jesus did not come forth out of the tomb. So they had the jurisdiction of Rome to put a seal upon that tomb so that the Lord Jesus could not come out. And God looked at that seal, laughed at it, and when an angel came from heaven with an earthquake, he rolled aside that stone that had been sealed by Rome. Here is an obstacle that Rome puts before God. You can't interfere. You can't enter into the decrees that I give for. And God sent forth an angel and cast aside that obstacle that they have set before God. So much for the power of Rome, the seal of Rome. Here is that great mountain set before the remnant of Israel. And God laughs at that mountain. He says, before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. But God says, here are my mountains. They are like as a brass. Now penetrate my defenses. Come, fight against me. Enter my domain and cause to cease the decrees that I send forth. And you see that it's absolutely impossible. When the judgments of God are going forth and God speaks the word, there is no one that can say, as God said concerning man's great mountain, you'll become a plain. Nobody looks at God's great mountains of brass and can make them a plain. Who, when God has spoken, can alter his sentence, can interfere with the decrees of God? This is what the Lord is telling us. So these chariots with horses come out from behind these mountains, and behind these mountains, we are told, God's presence was. And these chariots represent the four winds of heaven. Now, let's think a moment and see how it's all symbolical. I've already said, and I could have waited a little longer to tell you, but I take these chariots with the horses as being angelic beings. These chariots symbolizing angelic beings with the horses on a mission from God. And I will show you why. Look in chapter 3. Please note that they have come forth from standing in the presence of God. And in chapter 3, it says this, verse 7. If thou wilt walk in my ways, and thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt judge my house, and shalt keep my courts, and I will give thee a place of access among these that stand by. And again, you will find that there are others that stand by in the presence of God. And here again, these winds are they that have been standing in the presence of God. So at times, as in the book of Revelation, you have certain angels that have certain jurisdictions. Angels over the waters, angels over fire. Evidently, these are angels over the winds, for they themselves are like unto this, and I will let you read the verse. Keep your place, but turn to Psalm 104. Psalm 104. It will be a little different from your King James, but listen to the translation, Psalm 104, and look at verse 4. It says, who maketh winds his messengers, flames of fire his ministry. Now, the word messenger is the same word as angel. So here are winds, angels. These angels are God's messengers, and who maketh angels his messengers, the winds his messengers, flames of fire his ministers. So we have the elements, wind and fire, and he makes his angels these winds, his messengers, flames of fire, his ministers. Keep that in mind. And now, back in Zechariah 6, it says, these are the four winds that stand before the Lord of all the earth. So evidently, the winds and the angels and the chariot, they're all connected. And we can speak of the chariot representing the angel, speak of the wind as the power that is going to be exerted by this angel, and the horses that are driving the chariot as those horses that are ready to go to any distance to carry the judgment of God to whatever destination God desires to send it. So here we have these angelic beings, and I take it that these chariots are personalized beings. They are symbols of these angelic activity for this reason. Winds do not stand in the presence of God and wait for orders, and chariots without a driver do not go forth to do God's will. But if you have these horses in the chariots, and the chariot is spoken of as the winds of heaven that stand before the Lord of all the earth, then you have them connected. So here are these angelic beings, and wind is going to work its effect upon the destination of the earth to which God sends them. Keep those things in mind. Now, in this instance, when Zechariah asks for an answer, the angel does not say to him, you do not understand this? Because he could not have understood it without angelic interpretation. And even with the interpretation, it is difficult. But when the key is that they go forth, these four winds of heaven go forth from standing before the Lord of the earth, and you find that in verse 4 of chapter 5, I will cause it to go forth, saith the Lord, and it shall enter in, you'll find that God sends forth from his presence those angels that stand in his presence. Now, I'll show you probably what is meant. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings 6. And you'll see again why I take it that these chariots are the angels of God, the instruments of His judgment. 2 Kings chapter 6, look at verse 14. Therefore sent He thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host of horses and chariots was round about the city. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that are with us are more than they that are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now, what good are horses and chariots unless somebody's there to direct them? You say, this is simply a symbol of the angels of God, angels round about, chariots of fire. Why, here is the protection of God in the form of fire round about Elisha and his young companion. And the young man could not see it. But please notice, again, chariots of fire and horses. And in Zechariah 6 now, we have chariots and horses that have been standing in the presence of God, which again, as in the case of 2 Kings 6, they are sent to protect the people of God. Here, they are sent for to execute the judgment of God. So when you have these chariots surrounding a city to protect the people that are in it, that is a protective action of God. But when they are sent forth in judgment to carry out the decrees of God upon those that have violated His commands, then it is not protective, but it is punitive. And that's what we have here. So notice, it's like wind. And if you read in Revelation chapter 7, again, you have the four winds of heaven. And these winds are winds of destruction. And recently, we have experienced what it is for powerful winds to come forth. I confess that when I looked out and saw the trees going back and forth as they were, and the wind got stronger and stronger, I was afraid. But I've never had a wind that is as destructive as these winds that go forth. And what God does in Revelation 7 is to say, hurt nothing on the earth until the servants of God shall be sealed. So there, the winds are going forth to do God's destructive work. And evidently here, these winds, the four winds of heaven, notice, that is universality. They are going forth also to do God's destructive work upon His enemies. All right. Now, had it mentioned a chariot, that would have been one thing. That would have been significant of a war chariot. But when you have the horses, chariots ready to move, ready to go out to confront others in battle, but then it speaks about the various colors of the horses that are in the chariots. And I do not believe it is without significance. And I take the simplest explanation that God gives us in Revelation chapter 6. Let's just look at it for a moment. The colors are not always identical in their symbolism, but at least we have the suggestions that God gives us. He tells us about the horses in Revelation 6. Look at verse 2, Revelation 6, 2, and these suggestions show us the significance of the color of the horse. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat thereon had a bow, and it was given him a crown, and he came forth conquering and to conquer. So if you have a white horse, It is one that goes forth to conquer, to have glory, to gain victory. Look at verse 3. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, Come. And another horse came forth, a red horse. And to him that sat thereon was given to take peace from the earth, and that they should slay one another. And it was given him a great sword. Here is bloodshed by warfare. Verse 5. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, Come. And I saw and behold a black horse. And he that sat thereon had a balance in his hand. And I heard as it were a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, A measure of wheat for a shilling, and three measures of barley for a shilling, and the oil and the wine hurt thou not. And so here we have famine, starvation on the earth. And again, there is this other horse, a pale horse, and death and Hades are on it, and the fourth part of the earth is to be killed with the sword, and also with famine and with death and by the wild beasts of the earth. So keeping that in mind, now turn back to Zechariah chapter 6. You have various colors. At times, they have the same significance. At times, they might have varied significance. It's like this, red or crimson. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You say, yes, I understand. Red connected with sin there. But red here connected with bloodshed, with the horse that went forth in Revelation 6. So here you get these colors. And if this is so, and these chariots are angelic beings with these horses, I take it then that God has designated the red horses to execute a certain work, the black horses to execute a certain kind of judgment, the white horses to execute a certain type of judgment, you understand. So these horses are sent out to carry out the decree of God, and their color will designate what judgment is to be carried out upon the designation, the destination to which they're sent. Alright, look now at verse 6. The chariot wherein are the black horses goeth forth toward the north country, and the white went forth after them. Now, you say that's remarkable. You find the black and the white going in the same direction. Yes, at times two kinds of judgment are needed, and at the same time you have two angelic beings that are sent forth, because at times the power in certain areas is so great that more angels than one is needed. All right, look at verse 7. And the strong went forth, the latter part of verse 6, and after them, and the grizzled went forth toward the south country. For sake of time, the north country primarily speaks of Babylon. The land of Shinar, Babylon. Look at what I taught you the last time. Look down at verse 11 in chapter 5. And he said unto me, To build her a house in the land of Shinar. And when it is prepared, she shall be set there in her own place. Now, here's an advance. You remember when the flying roll went forth, it entered the home of the individual and destroyed the timber and the stone. But when the judgment of God was upon this wicked woman in the Ephah, she had satanic assistance to take her to the land of Shinar. But even in the land of Shinar, which would be to the northeast of Jerusalem, even though she goes there and for a while is set upon her own place, on her base, please understand that she who fled and thought she had escaped the judgment of God is no better than those into whose home the flying roll entered, because if God desires, even though she takes protection in the land of Shinar, God sends forth his black horses, and his white horses carrying the chariots, and they go there, and they do precisely to that wicked woman and what she stands for. They do exactly what God wants them to do. And also, if Egypt is the land of the south, when the chariots and the horses go there, they carry out the execution of God's judgment just the way that God wants it to, always. Not only that, we have two specific locations, north and south. But it says, verse 7, and the strong went forth and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, get you hence, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. For that reason, specifically the north, the south, but the rest of the earth is not exempt from the judgment of God. The angelic beings go and execute precisely what God wants to be done at whatsoever location there is upon the earth. Now, think for a moment, and we'll see what encouragement this would give to the children of Israel. Babylon has been friendly, but then we receive instruction from other kings not to proceed in the building of the temple. And we're afraid of the king of Egypt. Suppose they understand this parable, this vision, as being God in his impregnable fortress, sending out destructive forces against all the enemies of Israel, then they could rest in peace. Egypt, God has a chariot that can take care of them. Babylon, God has a chariot. Well, what about the rest of the earth? God has his chariots, and they walk through and go through all the earth. God can protect us. And so that would be the encouragement to this poor remnant that seems so unprotected and unable to defend themselves. This is the message that Zechariah had to bring to them. All right, this now. Look at verse 8. When these chariots go there, then he cried unto me and spake unto me, saying, behold, they that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. All right. God's spirit was perturbed, upset, because of what was going on in the north country. What happens when this occurs is that God sends forth his angels, divine judgment, and they tend to those that have perturbed God's spirit, upset God's spirit. And when they are taken care of, then God says, they have quieted my spirit in the north country. Turn back to chapter 1 quickly, please. Chapter 1. And look at verse 14. For the angel that talked with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy, and I am very sore displeased with the nations that are at ease, for I was of a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built. Just this quickly. In chapter 1, we have horses that reconnoiter. They go and see the conditions that are existing in various parts of the earth. And when God hears about these things, he says, I was but a little displeased. And then in chapter 6, God hears what's going on in certain parts of the earth. And then God sends out his ministers to attend to that, because God is jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. And this is the message that Zechariah can bring to that feeble remnant that seems to be under attack from all the corners of the earth. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we confess that at times we seem to be forgotten. We look at the world, how great, how powerful, and yet thou hast told us that the world's mountain is a feeble thing in your sight. Cut off thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. Let us remember that you have mountains as well, and there are mountains of brass, and men have their armies, but you have said, not by power nor by might,
but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And you have your Holy Spirit, and you have your angelic spirit, and they are the ones that you turn into winds to do your task, our God. And flames of fire are your messengers, our God. We are thankful that you are the Lord of heaven and the Lord of earth. So look upon us, and when our hearts would be upset, let us understand that you have angels reporting to thee the conditions that exist throughout all the earth. And then you have chariots with colored horses to send to take care of those things that displease you, that disturb your spirit. And our Father, we are glad that when your judgment is executed, then your spirit is quieted. So, Father, look upon your world and all the places in it where sin and suffering and disobedience to thee and death and famine and plague are present, our God, and send forth these beings for them, and let your spirit be quieted, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.